I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep-fried tacos. Sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 642, Navy of the Dead. What?
Space Force of the Dead.
Space Force of the Dead. So I shouldn't put that out there.
No, please don't.
And give him any ideas. Oh, Jesus. Now we're going to have
gonna
a Navy
be a platform
of the Dead
in 2024.
What the hell was I thinking?
I mean, the fact that this movie is like politically motivated about using the zombies as weapons.
Yeah.
Like this.
So, before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is David Rosen. He's a musician, film composer, and host of the Piecing It Together podcast. And we like to have people with ties to the film. He's also a zombie.
That is right. And from Las Vegas.
And from Las Vegas. So
he was there.
Oh, I didn't know he was also from Las Vegas.
I
thought he was.
It was great to meet Batista, let me just say.
So I guess before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. And while you're there, be sure and leave a review. It helps the people that come along after you know if we're worth listening to or not worth listening to.
You're not supposed to lead with that.
Oh, you know, at this point, whatever.
They know.
They know.
You leave it open. It tells you if we're, you know, worth listening to, and you leave it at that and let them decide.
Let them make the assumptions. Yeah. Okay. We'll fix all this in post.
Yeah.
No, we won't. Right. So you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. You can join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. And if you want to actually be a League of Show Sharers member in real life, what? If you want to share it, oh, Jesus Christ, I was out late. You want to share it, just share an episode.
They open up the country.
Like
and
these.
Tom's out every night, night.
I got my vaccine. I'm licking doorknobs. I'm sharing ice cream cones with total strangers.
It's just back to normal.
I French kissed a police horse.
I did not know where that was going to go.
It was madness. Yeah. But people who were kind enough to share an episode this week and probably never will again. Pat Andy, Travis Tewitt, Chris Williams, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Falls, Ralph Tribble, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Joey Faubert, Mike and Oscar, the Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, The Movie Journey, Collateral Cinema Podcast, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Colby Mack, Ronnie Castle, In Session Films, Kathia Woods, Chris Wilson, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, and Feelin' Film. So there's all of that. Let's dig in, shall we?
I
you know that last Van Halen record?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was good. Like, it was good-ish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it sounded like old Van Halen.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, this sounds like old Van Halen. But then you're like, but all the songs are kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Army of the Dead.
It really, it was aggressively average.
Yeah.
That's the,
if
nice.
This movie had come out 20 years ago.
This would have been this would have been amazing.
You would be rock hard.
Yep. No, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
It's not 20 years ago.
It's not 20 years ago, and he's rehashing old stuff that he did before.
Yeah.
Right? So the whole opening sequence of this
movie.
So
here's another, can I give you another music analogy?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. It's like Meatloaf, right?
Okay.
It's like when Meatloaf sings songs that aren't written by Jim Steinman.
Oh. We're just like, yeah, it's still Meatloaf, but.
It's like, right. it's Meatloaf.
Yeah.
But like, he needed James Gunn. He's trying
so
to.
So, in this metaphor, is Larry Fong the Jim Steinman?
I think so.
Or James Gunn.
Yeah.
Well, but
yeah,
so,
or James
well,
Gunn.
For, you know, related
for the
zombie
yeah.
genre. Right, right,
right.
So, like, Larry Fong is one of my favorite cinematographers working today.
Was he always with Zack Snyder? Or was
not
he.
Not always. Because I don't think he was Dawn of the Dead, but he came on board early.
Okay.
So
like 300 Watchmen?
Something like that. He came on board not at the first one, but I think the
secret.
There
were 300 Watchmen?
300
was like,
Watchmen.
I thought there was like six or eight of them or something.
Who watches all those Watchmen?
I don't know. You're going to need like 600 people to watch the Watchmen. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's good. Buddy system.
Yeah.
Carry the four.
It's like the Watchmen started a ska band.
But I think, do you remember how we always talked about Matthew Vaughn and Guy Ritchie?
Sure. Yeah.
So Guy Ritchie movies were great, and Matthew Vaughn was his guy. And a lot of people think that, well, that influence really helped, you know, catapult Guy Ritchie to the next level. So I think
all the way to Swept Away.
No, I think there's a lot. I think there are a lot more variables here than just a cinematographer.
Sure.
But still, I think Zack Snyder's vision, which Zack Snyder, I think, has an amazing imagination and ability to dream up these things.
I don't disagree with that.
And I think Larry Fong made them happen. I think his cinematography is so good and was able to bring, you know, comic book pages to life and to be able to visualize the things that Snyder thought of. And so Larry Fong went to go do Skull Island
which is great.
While Snyder got a new cinematographer for BVS.
So did Larry Fong do Man
the
of Steel?
Underwear?
I believe so, yeah.
BVS, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he was Man of Steel, and there were some really good shots in that. But so he left to do Skull Island, another Warner Brothers project, and then he hasn't worked with Snyder since. And I think that the magic of Snyder's imagination coming to life was lost a little bit, and especially in this one, because he's his own damn cinematographer.
Yeah.
And this movie is horrible looking.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is, yeah. I mean, let's get this the big thing out of the way is the whole Tig Notaro Chris D'Elia thing.
But I think that was great.
I think they handled that great. I mean, so if you don't know, Chris D'Elia is a stand-up comedian. Did he get Me Too'd and then un Me Too'd?
No,
he was never un.
Yeah. I don't think he's
still Me Too'd.
He's still Me Too'd. Okay, I didn't remember.
he might be Me Three'd.
Yeah. So the story is that he was messaging
regardless.
Girls. Either way, he was in this movie. He was supposed to be the helicopter pilot.
Yeah. I mean, it was filmed and done.
It was finished. He gets in trouble. They digitally take him out of the movie completely, and then they bring in Tig Notaro, who's another stand-up comedian. To redo his role, but she's not on set with
anybody.
Wait, she?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Snyder and like a guy with a boom mic and a green screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I'm going to stop right.
I don't have a problem with it.
I think
she's
the best part of the movie.
I like her, but it's also, it's jarring. It's like she's playing the ghost of Christmas past.
Kinda. It is weird.
I think it's incredible they pulled it off. That's just me like knowing
I don't know that
happened.
They did pull it off, but
yeah.
I get what.
It's not as bad as it could have been.
Right. I think it's crazy to think how well they pulled it off, given like, she's in scenes with other people, and I don't know.
There was one part where they showed her standing there, and I was like, "Is that like the ghost of Anakin? What is happening right now?"
But
I think I will have a controversial statement. Ooh. I think Dave Bautista is a better actor than The Rock. I think he is The Rock has.
I don't think he has that charisma.
Now hold on a second. Yeah. Okay, so I agree with you.
Yeah.
The Rock has found that niche in like the cool guy action comedy.
Are billion-dollar movies a niche now?
I guess that for The Rock, maybe they've become a
niche.
He is the box office. Yeah,
right.
Where I think Batista has a little bit more range.
Yeah.
I think the Bond villain, which, I mean, he doesn't do a lot in that, but he's not being a goofball. In Blade Runner, he's not being, you know, that's a very good role.
The Rock is always The Rock.
Yes.
But you cast him to be The Rock.
Yeah. Correct.
Batista is actually able to play different characters.
Yes. And I don't think he's bad in this. I think he's, I think he's very good in this.
With a bad script.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's the Henry Cavill problem with Zack Snyder.
Well, this
again,
is
right?
Amy Adams in Woman in the Window. This is Amy Adams and Glenn Close and Hillbilly Elegy. They're good. They're doing good with the material they're given.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Batista is fine in this. I mean, I think he's perfect casting for this type of ex-mercenary role, tough guy, whatever. I mean, that's Batista.
Yes.
You know, but he also does the stuff with the estranged daughter. And I agree.
I got to tell you, didn't realize it was his daughter until, like, because she calls
the
him
character?
Scott. Yeah. Well, like, she has in that flashback where we see her, where we see Dave Batista kill his wife. The daughter opens the
door. His zombie wife, to clarify.
Yes. Sorry. Zombie wife, not like murking people.
Yeah.
but she opens that door and she's got like blonde hair.
That's how they aged her up.
Right. We see her later and she's got brown hair. And then she's calling him Scott. And I was like, well,
I was confused as to whether or not it was his daughter or stepdaughter.
And then she starts screaming dad. And I was like, what? Who are you? Why are you in this movie?
If they want us to know that she was his daughter, they, instead of giving her brown hair, they should have made her bald.
Or just covered in tattoos.
And then we'd have been like, oh, it's his daughter.
Yeah, covered in tattoos.
Yeah. So, but okay,
or
so,
blue. What if they made her blue?
Oh, I like your theory. Yeah. I like it.
So I didn't mean the color.
Oh.
What? Oh, I'm going to get me three'd.
Me four'd.
So the, I mean, controversy stuff aside, all that, that's not the problem with this movie.
When
Zack Snyder made his directorial debut with Dawn of the Dead, which I love, one of my zombie movies.
I saw it for the first time like 8 months ago.
No,
it's
way.
Fantastic.
I'd never
Isn't
seen
it, great?
It. And I was, when I was working overnight at the morgue, I was just pounding through things I had
perfect.
Seen.
Overnight at the morgue, watching Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. And I'm just like, as it started, I was like, well, this might not have been the best
Tom's
idea.
Tom's pulling up his blanket.
Yeah.
And only the light of the laptop, you know, illuminating his face.
That is the beginning of the fast zombie.
Yeah.
Like that and 28 Days Later are where this the whole
28
fast.
Days later.
Yeah. Where like the whole fast zombie. But I was started.
Is it hours later or days? Isn't it?
It's 28
days later, and then 28 weeks later.
Weeks was the second.
Right, yes, but then there's also a Sandra Bullock movie called 28 Weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm like,
where she's getting sober.
Yeah. But you're right. So like those two were the first times we saw. So anyway, James Gunn wrote that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
So
and it shows.
And
yes.
And
he did not write this movie.
And it shows.
And it shows.
So you see.
And that's that was my analogy with the Jim Steinman Meatloaf thing, right? Like when Meatloaf isn't singing Jim Steinman songs. It's not good.
It's Meatloaf.
Nobody cares.
But nobody.
It's like, but you. I mean, if you own Meatloaf records, you own Bat Out of Hell, and you own Bat Out of Hell 2, and you're done.
So that's but that's, I agree with you 100%, and that's what I was saying to Joe earlier. Is there's so many variables at play here. I think Larry Fong, but that's also an issue going back further than just this movie. You know, like with Justice League, you get a lot of those tight close up, shallow focus, out of focus stuff right in their faces. Which I told Tom for the movie, was I right or was I right?
Yeah, I mean
half the movie is close ups in someone's face, out of focus.
Yeah,
That's a horrible way to tell the story. You're talking about a sprawling epic over Las Vegas, which sure you get a few establishing shots, but most of the movie's right up in their faces.
Yep.
Like he loves to do that.
And then so much of it's blurry.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So he fell in love with some 1970s Canon shallow focus lens, and then he decided to use it for 90% of the movie because it looks cool. So Zack Snyder, if you don't know, he thinks it looks cool. He puts it in the movie. And so Zack Snyder, if you didn't know, used to be a music video director, which is how a lot of great directors
Fincher
start,
was
right?
one. But and I think Spike Jones was.
Yeah, Spike Jones was.
Sure. Alfred Hitchcock.
Because he was Beastie Boys. Spike Jones did the Beastie Boys
Alfred
stuff.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, he did all the Bing Crosby videos.
Excellent. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I'd love to have an Alfred Hitchcock music video for my songs. That would be cool.
So, I mean, that's no knock. I mean, that's great. But
you start somewhere,
But that's why.
That's the path for a lot of people because it's the cheapest way to test a director.
Absolutely.
Like, it makes sense. It's you're only buying 3 minutes of footage, so you're not entrusting him with a $100 million
right.
movie.
Right, exactly. Right,
yeah. But we used to be like, well, that makes sense. Zack Snyder has such an eye for the visual flair of things, whatever. Yeah. He's a music video director. Those are, you know, big and they have cool shots. So like, it makes perfect sense. So anyway, he's got a great mind for those kind of like big visuals, but I don't think he knows exactly how to execute them.
And that's where
Larry Fong comes in, and that's where, you know, having whatever cinematographer, even if it wasn't Fong, can help him establish that. But you know, in music videos, you have 3 minutes, and you're like, let's put some cool stuff
let's
in
blow
there.
Some
put some cool stuff, right? Yeah. So when you go to a 2.5 hour movie, which should really
which
only be an
no,
hour and
there
a half,
is no reason.
Mm-hmm. No, right.
It is the most like, you know, I'm going
to
jerk
they
off.
They got to the chopper and I like paused it to pee.
I did the same
I'm 50
thing.
And it was like the third time I paused it to pee. But, and I'm like, 55 minutes?
I paused it at one point and
then,
I was like.
And then you start like making deals with yourself where you're just like, well, I mean, there's lots of CGI. Maybe there's like 20 minutes of credits. Like, maybe this isn't so bad.
So the point is, with a music video, you can have some cool, big, bombastic scenes, and they look cool, and yeah, it works for the music video. But when you have 2.5 hours, you can't leave 10 minutes of close-up blurry shots in because they look cool to you. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
His shots didn't further the story. Like, half of the shots were just...
They're there.
Yeah, and it's so self-indulgent. And now they've created a monster because you have Snyder.
Nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady.
Right.
He's chopped liver. Mm-hmm.
But now he's left to his own devices. He has a cult following. And to be clear, and I've said it before, I've been a Zack Snyder fan since.
So this is what I will say is I'm with you. I agree that like Dawn of the Dead, I really enjoy 300. I really enjoy Watchmen. Yeah. Sucker Punch.
Guardians of the Galaxy or the Guardians of Ga'Hoole.
I've never seen
Owls
that.
Is a great movie.
Okay,
but really
Sucker
good.
Punch is not a good movie. Sucker Punch is atrocious.
It has its problems, but its director's cut actually. In that case, I think it helped the movie more than just making it longer. Like it for his crazy thing that he came up with, getting a few more scenes actually does help it along. But I get it; it's not my favorite.
It's not
but,
good,
right?
And then
Man of Steel is, I think, one of the best DC movies.
I mean, your bar is pretty flipping low.
Well, but
now
I mean,
who's the smartest Kardashian?
Right. But they've made a lot of them, and I'm just
that
saying,
is not
like,
the best.
Like Man of Steel,
Wonder,
is one
I
of
think
the
Wonder,
best.
Wonder Woman,
yeah,
the first one, Wonder Woman, Shazam,
one of the best.
It's not my Superman, and that's where I struggle with that. Is
yeah.
whatever. I'm not getting into that again. But that's where he goes off the rails for me. Is when he starts working on that stuff. Is
right.
Like, that's where I start to lose it. And I think I tried to come into this thinking, okay, we're going to get the stink of the WB stuff off of him at this point. He's going to go back and do like a new property. I like this cast. I like the idea of like Ocean's
Big
11.
Big dumb fun.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, okay, like that's
Ocean's
just,
11 meets Dawn of the Dead.
That's ridiculous, but it's so ridiculous. It just might work.
Right. It should have been just big dumb fun.
Yeah.
But
and
again,
I don't even mind, like, I think that's part of the allure of a zombie movie is. You can like Shaun of the Dead, where Shaun of the Dead is funny, but there are moments in that movie that will kick you in the dick, right? Like mm-hmm. when Shaun's mom gets bit, or when there's the emotion between his stepdad and Ed and all that stuff. So you can do all of that stuff and whip in that emotion that allows you to care about these characters when they die. In this, it's just like, look, we're not going to let you care about anybody. And they barely let you care about the main characters. Like they barely do it.
I don't
right?
feel.
Like,
I didn't feel anything for any of it.
No,
never,
like you want Batista to live? Yes,
because he's
Batista.
But yeah, it had nothing to do with the character.
No, I didn't care about Scott.
So, what's your experience with Zack Snyder and like coming into this movie, David? And like, how did you react to this? This 2.5 hour craziness.
Yeah, it's so damn long. But I've always been someone who doesn't love his movies, but likes them. And I kind of root for him to like make something worthwhile and good. And this movie, I don't understand. Apparently, he came up with the concept in 2007 and then went through this whole DC, you know, universe thing that he's been doing. And I'm just wondering, like, did he spend any time on it between 2007 and now, or did he just get the break and start shooting? Because it just seems like such a half-baked idea. Let's put zombies in Las Vegas, and what else is there? Like, there's nothing else that exactly happens. I guess the idea of there being a zombie queen and a zombie king and all that, but none of it goes anywhere.
Right. Well, yeah, you never get really any more like explanation or analysis of that other than they exist.
He's so also got a weird hard on for zombie babies. Like in both of his zombie movies, like in the first one, they shoot a zombie, like in the in Dawn of the Dead, they shoot a zombie baby in the head. Like this woman gives birth to a zombie baby and they shoot the baby in the head. And then in this one, the zombie king, who I got to tell you, at one point I was like,
zombie Tim Riggins.
I was thinking, I was like, it's going to be Henry Cavill. Like, well, Henry, that's what I thought the entire
Ben Affleck stunt double.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it really? Yeah.
For Batman.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. But I was like, he's wearing the cape the entire time. I was like, it would be kind of funny if he got Henry Cavill to come in and do like this zombie king. Because I was like, it was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then the zombie king pulls out a zombie baby fetus.
He performed a Z-section.
He did. Which I got to tell you, I don't know how that works with zombies. Like, how does one zombie impregnate another zombie?
Zombies love each other very much.
But everything is dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Well, talk about the rules, too, of this movie.
I don't know. My ex-wife was dead on the inside. We had two kids.
So, I mean, you really, if you want to get into the rules of this movie, they're all over the place.
They are.
Do you get bitten or scratched? Do you turn into a zombie immediately or
right,
later?
Or a week to 10 days later?
Do you can cut their heads off, but they're still alive? There's no
Okay, so that
blood.
Makes sense, though. That's always been, that. I mean, you got to destroy the brain. Right. But if you cut the head off, you're not destroying the brain.
Yeah, but in a lot of zombie lore too, you cut the head off, and that usually kills them too.
That's true. That's fair.
I mean, there's different tellings, but I'm just saying this movie doesn't really. When they establish rules, like he shoves a knife through his wife's brain.
Yeah.
Remember in that scene, and then it's like, okay, so that kind like does that kill them, or do you have to like totally?
No,
explode
but
the brain. Like, I don't know. It just, to me, it wasn't very clear of what the rules were they were setting up, and it seemed to always change depending on what cool scene we were watching. You know what I mean? Like, well, this would be cool to do this, so I guess it works like
I,
that.
I
see. What I thought they should have done is they should have got all the zombies in one place and showed them the movie Inception. Because it would blow their mind.
It would blow their mind.
And then they'd all be dead.
Then maybe they'd all fall asleep and go into that weird hibernation thing that they do. I don't know. Which is a new thing that I've never seen in a zombie movie.
All right. So musician and film composer David Rosen. We haven't talked about the music in this movie yet. What did you think of his needle drops throughout the film?
Just so bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the main one that you have to talk about is the Cranberry Zombie to end the movie, not to jump all the way ahead. But is there anything more obvious than that?
There's a reason no one else has ever done it, right? It's because it's too on the nose, right? Like, it's not like, oh, my God, how did anybody miss this? It's because everybody else was like, yeah, that seems a little obvious.
Right. Song. Okay, so even that aside,
what if I did the acoustic version?
I did a sleepy acoustic cover version?
They love that.
At least we didn't have to hear Hallelujah again.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that song aside, which, yes, that's on the nose, that's wearing the band shirt to the concert, that's very obvious and uncool. But that aside, every single needle drop that was like this weird juxtaposition of, well, of course, I'll do this slow song with an action scene. I'll do this more funny, upbeat song with a sad, crazy part. Or whatever. I mean, like, every single choice he made, it wasn't like I'm saying, well, that song is just a terrible song. No, it was just a terrible choice.
Yeah.
Like, but when you do it better, we'll go, okay, so Zombieland does it better. Mm-hmm. With the opening credits what was that? Whatever the Metallica song was. And then he did this in Dawn of the Dead, right? Like he did Richard Cheese, who was the guy playing Liberace in the beginning part of this movie, does the cover of Down with the Sickness in Dawn of the Dead. And that works.
Which 17 years ago when it was original was really clever. What I mean is he tries to do that with every scene in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's so played
And Down
out.
With the Sickness is kind of coming at it a little sideways, right?
Correct.
The zombies have a sickness that turns them into a zombie. Oh, okay. But it's like,
But he wants so bad, he's trying to make his James Gunn soundtrack. And like, think about James Gunn songs. They're not on the nose at all.
No, he picks the perfect song.
They're the perfect song.
That opening scene, I talk about it all the time. Yeah. That opening scene in Guardians 2, and not just because it's like a St. Louis favorite song.
Yeah.
But like, it works. Like, the whole opening scene is just a perfect, yeah. Like, if you would have told me that they were going to use the chain for an action sequence, right. I'd be like, you're dumb.
No. Yeah.
And then you see it, you're like, why did nobody ever think of that?
Awesome Mix, Volume 1 and 2
are
incredible, and they fit that movie perfectly. So what I'm saying is he's trying so hard to get his own Awesome Mix in this movie because he's like, oh, I'll pick this song, and it's so weird, and it's a strange juxtaposition, and he thinks they're clever and whatever. It's like, but every single one, I can't remember one where I didn't cringe with this.
They're
choice.
All of it. Yeah. So here, it's just the other. Go ahead.
Just
Dave,
to add a little positivity to the mix, you know, props to Zack Snyder for being a Ravenettes fan, though, because they're one of my favorite bands. And that cover of The End, yeah, it fits right into what you're saying there about how cheesy these needle drops are, but I love them, and at least they're getting a few royalties, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
No, this movie isn't all bad, too, though. I mean, these are just the negatives.
I checked out of this movie 30 minutes in. When it becomes kind of a COVID allegory, when the guys, you know, they've got like this camp set up outside and they're taking people's temperatures, and you've got guys that are just like, I don't know, you look kind of sick. Like, it's so, like, they've got the temperature gun that we have all seen over the last year. So it was a little on the nose at that point. And then
I don't know if he was filming this during COVID, though.
That might be.
I mean, that's just how you check people.
It could be.
I think he filmed it over a year ago.
The timing.
But I don't know.
We've been doing this for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But then when he rips off scene for scene, word for word, shot for shot, American Werewolf in London, the whole opening is like, I was like, I almost quit watching the movie because I'm just like, how are you going to steal from one of the greatest horror comedies ever filmed? Like, the whole opening scene with the two army guys down to, oh, that he's hunting us.
That was horrible.
Have you seen American Werewolf in London?
Yeah.
Okay, so the scene where David and Griffin Dunn are on the moors, mm-hmm. as soon as the army guys say it's circling us, it is shot for shot, scene for, even to the point where, like, the one guy's like, that was scary, and then gets drilled by a zombie.
It reminded me of the opening scene in the Twilight Zone movie.
You want to see something really scary?
Yeah. Yeah. Albert Brooks and...
It's Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where he just pops up and is crazy looking. Yeah. Well, so I thought it was really apt that David is a guest on this episode, because I'm like, how many puzzle pieces are in this movie? I mean, that's what he does on his show, and it's great to analyze different influences that make up a movie, right? And so, like, this movie, though, it's horribly, but uses so much, it takes so much, where it doesn't feel like homage. It just feels like he's just lifting things from cooler movies.
Yeah. Why didn't he call that one gal Vasquez?
Well, they're aliens. Exactly. That's another example. Yeah. How that character looks and even says some of the same lines.
Has the same, like, her costume is the same.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird. But the movie isn't all bad, but the thing is, it's 2.5 hours, and if you need 2.5 hours to tell a Justice League version or something, you know what I mean? Like, longer to get more character development and, you know, a whole cyborg story they cut. If you're going to put more time into that, fine. But the extra 30, 45 minutes, I think, were just like lingering establishing shots, and when the characters would talk to each other, they just went on. Like, you're supposed to cut, and then they just kept talking, and you were like, are you just letting them go and see what they...
just having fun with it.
Yeah, just having fun with it.
At least someone was.
Yeah.
But that opening scene, the writing of that scene, how stupid those guys were, which I get you can have stupid characters in movies, but this was like beyond
This is Return of the Living Dead Part 2. The whole premise of that movie is that your two main characters accidentally open up a canister that had a zombie from the original Night of the Living Dead, and because it releases this gas, like, that's how the zombie outbreak starts.
Gassy zombie is the worst.
But this is kind of the exact same thing, right? Like, where the canister opens and the zombie gets out.
I think we just gave Zack Snyder another idea.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Army of the Dead 3, zombie farts.
Why does the truck crash, though? I can't remember.
Oh, because somebody's getting a blowjob and, like, runs into a truck, and nobody's paying it. Like, okay, the guy getting head, I'll give benefit of the doubt that he's not paying attention. The army thing, the army,
because they're just chit-chatting, Joe. They don't look straight ahead. Not looking, just talking
on a two-lane desert road. Yeah. Like there's nothing else.
Lights.
Yeah.
In the
you don't see the guy coming at you for 10 miles.
No, it's such a stupid reason. Which okay, if this movie was just big dumb fun,
yeah,
fine. But it also takes itself so hyper seriously that you can't allow stupid stuff like that, because then you're like, but then you're trying to be serious and heartfelt over there. Like, are you making a wacky, crazy zombie killing movie, or are you trying to say something? And like, I think Snyder thinks he's saying something, but you watch this movie and you're like, what the hell?
I don't know what it is.
I
feel like there's some sort of COVID message, but I can't honestly figure out where he lands on it.
Well, I mean, to his credit, somebody asked him point blank, which way do you vote? And he was like, I vote Democrat. And I was like, well, that is not where I thought that was going.
I would not have guessed that.
Right.
But isn't he like, he's like libertarian. He's like,
I mean, that's
he's like
in the other guy.
What Randy?
That's what we all thought, but apparently not. we all thought that
because
he's
trying to make an Atlas Shrugged movie, right? Like he's
right.
He's
no,
a big,
he is.
Yes, like he's
no. Fountainhead.
Fountainhead. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. So like, but I thought he was like a big libertarian type. Just weird. If he just
he has also said I like to stir up my fans.
Well,
you know, and I think saying that might stir up his fans.
You think he maybe said that? Okay.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
But I hear you. But that's the thing, though, is so getting back to my point earlier about creating a monster, and we got it. You don't have to.
Nobody wants to see Marshall.
Yeah, okay.
What about Shaka Khan?
So they've given him now. So Netflix brings him over here. You've got this whole Snyder cut ordeal, and you know even the Snyder film canisters are in this movie. Do you see them in the vault?
I didn't until somebody pointed them out, and it's just like
the Snyder cut film reels that he released to spur all this stuff about, oh, it's real. Here it is in these canisters.
Yeah.
He put that shot was like from the set of this movie. Like he put those canisters in the vault, and he said that was a personal Easter egg because at the time they filmed the movie, which tells you it was a while ago.
I guess that makes sense, yeah.
At the time he filmed the movie, the Snyder Cut was never going to see the light of day, and so it was his own personal, like, well, they're locked away from me. Like, I can't get to them. So it was his thing he was dealing with. And then it's like, well, now it's special because, well, there they are, and they actually did get made. Now I'm over here. Whatever. So
it's crazy. Like, I think he's got two good movies here, or two at least interesting movies. I like the idea of we need to get into this place. It's surrounded by zombies. We need to get the money and get out. Here's our plan.
Right.
I also like the idea of
it's Escape from New York.
Yes, I love the idea of like an Escape from New York style movie with zombies.
Yeah,
and that's what I've seen Train to Busan.
Kind of
very similar.
Yeah, but I also like the idea of this team of mercenaries going into a zombie infested area and trying to bring people out. Yeah. Right, like those are two interesting and cool ideas. Unfortunately, I got 2.5 hours of neither.
Yeah, well, and
like,
so
that's
we,
the
but
thing.
You did get a Z-section.
You're right. I did get a Z-section, which I couldn't wait for.
Well, there's also so much stuff he plants in this movie, like robot zombies that
never get
addressed.
Thing?
Yeah.
Saw one with like blue eyes.
Yes, because they're glowing. So when this guy gets shot, and I went online to confirm this, and someone slowed down the video, and their head gets like blown apart. You can see even robot neck and face. Like, so he has robot zombies. There's also when they're in the big room, I think it's when the D-bag, security guy from the beginning gets killed. I think there's like a big group when all the zombies come to like surround them. There's two of them with blue glowing eyes. So his deal that he addressed in an interview was that obviously, okay, so spoilers, but the plot of this movie, the reason why they're going in is supposedly to steal $200 million and Scott Batista's character gets $50 million to divvy up to his team as he sees fit. He's really only doing it to try to make amends with his daughter, and he's going to give his whole $15 million to his daughter to help people. She's in refugee camps and volunteering and all that. So also the main guy who's trying to get the money or telling him about this.
I think the actor's name, his last name is Sonata.
Isn't that Sub-Zero from?
I don't think so.
That's not Sub-Zero?
I'm not confirming that because
if
I say that it is, that means I'm just confusing two different Asian men for each other. And I don't want to do that.
Okay. Or no, Scorpion I meant, not Sub-Zero.
You've grown so much over the years.
You very much.
David, is that the guy that played Scorpion? I thought the main casino guy was...
I honestly don't know.
Takanata, I think, is in this movie as his character.
Tanaka.
Tanaka? Yeah. I thought that was Scorpion, but he's a really, really good actor. We've seen him in stuff recently, and so that just came to mind. But anyway, so he sends his like right-hand man to go with them, you know, because he knows the layout of the casino. Well, come to find out, the right-hand man guy actually is there to make sure they steal the severed head of the zombie queen,
right,
who gets cut off and then still survives, that we talked about earlier. And they want to sell her head to the military.
They
want to
sell the deal. They want to sell. So what the deal is the zombie we see in the beginning is like,
so
this
two alpha people in this movie die getting head.
Yes, that's correct. is like the alpha zombie, and it's like they're faster and they're stronger, yeah, and they're smarter. And if you get bitten by this zombie, you become an alpha. Like, you become, yeah, like different
smart
than the shamblers.
They can be
like
reasoned with. Yes. You can make sacrifices to them. And
they can enter into legally binding contracts.
Apparently, yeah. They can also get people pregnant, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. So they want to use the zombie's DNA, the alpha's DNA.
And
to
this is Scorpion.
Oh, okay.
And the
good
guy from the Wolverine. Thank you very
much. Okay. Yeah, I remember
same
the guy.
Same guy. But in Mortal Kombat, I said the guy from the Wolverine.
I wasn't 100% sure, and I wasn't going
to
take.
I just
that
had
chance
to clarify, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure we just saw him 3 weeks ago in Mortal Kombat. Okay.
So that's the deal. Is they want to use the DNA from the alpha zombie to create their own zombie army that they
and
can
who is
farm
that
out. The Sonata wants to sell the head of that zombie to the U.S. government.
So if the U.S. government wanted the head of a zombie, why wouldn't they have just kept the zombie that they had locked up in a truck?
Well, because they were transporting him to be sold, and
they were shipping him to Iran.
Right. They want to sell it to other countries, not U.S. He just said U.S. because government. He didn't mean it's.
Did
no
they
one
not say that?
No one specifically said U.S.
Okay.
Oh.
He wants to sell it to. It's just like when a bad guy in a Mission Impossible movie wants nuclear codes to sell to the highest bidder. It's not a U.S. thing for themselves.
Oh, I thought that it was
this
a US
guy
thing
is an arms dealer that wants to sell to any country, gotcha, who will give them the most money. So they were shipping him to Iran, and that got messed up. So he needed people to go in and re-get an alpha to sell to the highest bidder. So it's not. The U.S. government.
I thought that. Then I thought that they had said that they
some
was,
government.
Some, I got gotcha,
you.
Some
I gotcha government or
government
military.
Ah, government. Yes.
So just to clarify. So no, that part actually makes sense. But
well,
so well, for what he's setting up, the reason he wants to go back in and all that makes sense. So they're there to get the money. Scott really wants to get the money to make up things with his daughter. But the main bad guy wants to, you know, sell,
you know, if
these
the daughter doesn't go, they all get out.
Okay, so but the daughter wants to go only because in the beginning of the movie she was helping a family, which did you guys get like a relationship vibes there?
That's what I did.
I asked the same question. I was like, are they supposed to be a thing? I can't.
That's how it read to me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She was, like, I guess she's supposed to just be really caring, but like to me, I don't know.
That
read
relationship between that woman and
Gita
and the daughter.
Yeah.
It felt very like relationship-esque.
Yeah,
me,
but I don't
my
know.
My dad thought that too, by the way.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's just the what with what they present, that's how he made it.
Right.
It's so it's interesting. Like, we've talked about that before, where in 2021, you don't need to say you're my girlfriend. You're
right.
My, you know, you don't.
And they didn't. Right.
But at the same time, don't hint around it. Like if
yeah,
they're,
like
if that was
a heterosexual couple, there'd have been a moment where they kissed or held hands,
right,
or he would have cupped her face or something where you,
yes,
know, like, this is a
okay,
romantic.
This is not a friendship. This,
yeah,
is something more than that. And nobody does that. And I think it's a catch-22 because I feel like some filmmakers don't want to hit you over the head with it. But at the same time,
well,
do they not want to do it because they don't want that out there? And then,
yeah,
you know, the crazies.
Right.
Not
well, exactly.
It's not anything wrong with it, but
but
some people think so.
Yeah.
And then your movie gets that kind of.
Yeah, totally. I mean, some people, I mean, I think you're right. They struggle with, they don't want to hit you over the head with it. And when I think subtlety.
Think Zack Snyder.
I think Zack Snyder.
Yeah, right. But that's, I just mean, like, film in general is like,
no,
you need
totally
to establish that it's not, like, even with a heterosexual couple, like there, you need to establish that it's not a friendship,
right?
To develop your two characters,
right? It's
right?
Stakes. So
exactly.
Why does she care? Right. She can be a good person, but like she cares so much, but then she risks the lives of everybody involved
right.
in the team for this woman. So to me, it's like, well, the stakes are higher because you care on a different level,
right?
I guess she's just supposed to be a really good volunteer, but it's just to me, I think
she better get employee of the month,
right? Because she's the only one left. By the way, spoiler alert again, she's the lone survivor non-zombie turn.
Oh, there you go.
Right. She's the one that survives. But yeah, so they're all there for different reasons. And the thing is that you're right, Joe, the daughter's mission complicates everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they all, that's the bad thing though, is that like these movies always have one person.
Yeah.
Like you remove them from the equation.
Who's the guy from Modern Family?
Phil Dumphy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The guy that screws it up in Dawn of the Dead. Ty Burrell. Yeah. Thank you. This screws it up in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
And Mekhi Phifer.
It is so weird to watch him not play Phil Dunphy.
Right.
Or a
Phil Dunphy type character.
Saw it the other way around, which is interesting.
He's Phil Dunphy adjacent. He's Phil Dunphy if Phil Dunphy had no conscience.
Yeah.
Well, if he was a douche. Yeah. Like Phil Dunphy is carelessly unaware of he's not a bad person.
But he's a really good person. He's just can be kind of clueless.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
So I watched Arrested Development for the first time. I'm sorry. What was it? Modern Family for the first time. And then I'm like, that douchebag from Dawn of the Dead is a goofy, kind-hearted.
Yeah.
It was a really...
Well, and I had seen him. Kelsey Grammer had a short-lived sitcom where he worked at a news station.
Oh, yeah.
And Ty Burrell was like the wacky weatherman, I think.
Oh, so you got to see
him. And it was a very similar role. And it was supposed to be... It was Kelsey Grammer's first post-Frasier show. It was a big deal because it would had... They were really like loaded for bear because they had Ty Burrell in it and Josh Gad.
Who was the female lead though?
I don't remember.
It was also a heavy hitter. Like she was also, if I remember right, because it was like a nightly newscast. I think it may have been.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was just like, oh, this is a massive.
Yeah, like
cast.
They, it was clearly like this was going to be the prestige comedy for.
That's the gal
I think
from
it was Fox
from Home Improvement, right? Who was the mom from Home Improvement?
Was she Home Improvement or was she Everybody Loves Raymond? I didn't watch either.
Oh.
Go watch that show.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there are some cool action scenes in this movie, though. So like,
sure.
So to his credit, the positive of this movie, I mean, there's a lot of zombie killing. There's shooting and slicing and stabbing. And I mean, there is good
zombie babies.
I think this is the first time I've seen zombie animals. I take that back.
No,
Resident Evil had them.
Yeah, they've done that. I think this, the tiger was in like one of the Land of the Dead movies or something. That has been done in zombie movies. But I do think there's interesting concepts. So I think if we were to explore that part more instead of just focusing, pun intended, on close-ups for an extra hour of the movie, if they focused more on alphas, you know, like...
Oh, I have a question about the intelligence of the alphas.
Okay.
So he can figure out how to ride a horse, right?
Right.
Okay. How did he not figure out how to put a ladder up on top of those storage containers?
I don't remember.
That's my point, though. Like, if he can figure out how to lead an army of zombies and ride a horse, wouldn't it lend to reason that he could figure out how to work a ladder?
Why is the guy who wants you to steal $200 million not have the combination to his own safe?
That's a great question. That is a great question. And you got to bring
Why wouldn't they just give you that info? God, that is a huge glaring
you
gotta
bring in.
And then if you get the code wrong, it locks forever. Well, that's the same thing as if they stole your money. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
There is one line.
Like,
where
that's just lazy writing.
Right,
like, at that point, the clock is ticking. They said they have an hour to get out of this town before they drop the nuke, right?
Right.
So it's like
you didn't mention though, Tom, that they had a day and an hour. The president really wanted nukes to be dropped on Vegas on 4th of July because it seemed cool. And then,
which I got to tell you though, after the last 4 years,
I was just like, yeah,
doesn't
that
sound that crazy.
That like there was a time when I would have just heard that as like just silliness, and now I'm like, no, that really doesn't sound far afield from some of the quotes.
Like if he was making a political commentary, that was actually a great commentary.
Yeah.
If that's what he was doing.
Right. Yeah,
right.
But so the president, like people fought against him in government, and so he's like, okay, well, we definitely won't do it then. So instead of delaying
American government.
Now this is the American government.
Yes, thank you.
If they delayed it, the votes could go against or whatever. So it's like, okay, well, we have approval or can do it now in emergency status. We'll just move it up a day. So that's why they're under the clock. Those guys wouldn't have gone in with just a few hours just to set it up. They had like a day. And,
sure, yeah. But my point was from the whole like the safe locks forever. You could have just said if you get the code wrong three times, the safe locks you out for 24 hours. And they for them, that's the same as forever because they don't have 24 hours.
Right.
So to say it locks you out forever, well, that's dumb. Like that, you would never. So like, wait, your money's just gone now? Like that's not a solution. That's like I said, that's just as bad.
Right.
As if bad somebody stole your money.
Bad guys try to steal three times.
All
and
it
then
takes
you
is one disgruntled employee to type in 4077 three times, and you're out all your money. Like that's ridiculous.
No, you're right. But that's
that actually your PIN code?
No,
I just like MASH.
But that's the problem though. When we talk about a writer, like when I mean, Dawn of the Dead was a blast. And
Dawn of the Dead,
the story was good. The lines were good. You know,
which is like it's remaking probably the as much as people love. It's okay. It is tough. Like I think Night of the Living Dead is a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree that Dawn of the Dead might be better. Because okay, so we talked about it last time, right? Where Romero kind of fell into saying something with Night of the Living Dead, where Dawn
allegedly,
of the, right. But Dawn of the Dead, he is absolutely making a commentary on America at that time, consumerism, right?
Excess,
yes. Yeah. So the idea that you could take that idea and turn it into a goof, not goofy, but like a funny action horror movie, and it works. Is not normal.
Well, and that's why I love. So the original Dawn of the Dead was my favorite horror, my favorite zombie movie.
Sure.
And then the new one came out, and that one pretty much tied for my favorite zombie movie because they took the elements of the first one. Like, I love all the stuff they say and all that. That's clever. But I also love the idea of free range, running around in a mall with every store at your disposal, and chopping up zombies. And then in 2004, they ramp that up and run with it and make it funny and make it exciting and the action's good. And so he took the best parts and brought it back, around and modernized it. And then plus you have all
I
the
might
other
go watch that later today.
Yeah. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
So this one, this is, he gets his team together, minus Chris D'Elia.
This scene irritated me as they're getting the team together. Cause I'm like, this isn't a sequel, right? They're showing us this scene as like, it's like,
we should know who these people are.
And like, we're supposed to be getting excited. Like, oh, they're getting back into it.
It's the Avengers.
And it's like, I'm just like, but I don't know these people. I don't care. Like, I didn't watch another movie where they did amazing things.
Well, because two of Scott's people were like mercenaries with him. So like those, like he knows them as the connection he was making. And then the other ones were just recruited from specialists.
I did like the Tig Notaro scene is the best out of all of them, where she was like, how much is it? Okay. And he's like, you don't even want to know. He's like, no, my life sucks. Like, this is terrible here. I'll take the money. It's fine.
I like to believe that Tig Notaro wrote this line where she's was like, like, I guess they spent all the money on the miniature. Like, he had this huge model of the hotel that they're robbing.
That's a good question. I wonder how much was D'Elia's dialogue.
I'm sure she improvised.
And she, if they rewrote it just for her.
Yeah, I would bet. I mean, she's really funny, and I thought she was great in this movie. I think they did a really good job of, casting another comedian, but not just trying to get another Chris D'Elia type.
I like the fact that they went in a totally different direction. Yes. I have to give him
It's not like they got Tom Segura.
Right.
And
she's so likable. I think she's incredibly likable. Yeah. She's funny, and she does a great job in a role that she's never played anything like this.
Yeah.
And I think she did a great job with it.
It was
sexy
also,
AF.
So he gets his team together. They go in, and it starts moving. It starts to move at a pretty good clip. And I was like, okay, so maybe it's just an hour and a half of just blowing up zombies, which, all right, might get a little tiresome after a while, but I'm fine with that. It's not.
Never felt like this moved at a good clip. Every time they got going,
that's what I'm
it
saying.
Would be like, lingering shots of nothing where I was just like, none of this is relevant to the story. I mean, establishing is fine, but I mean, he would just linger on people. Okay, when they're doing the standoff, when they first meet up with the
zombie
the wolf or whatever, and the main zombies, when they get to Vegas or at the wall or whatever, and they're like, we need to do a trade, and she brings in the douchebag guy from the beginning and all
which
that.
I liked because that guy was a douchebag.
He was great
yeah.
at playing. I mean, that guy was...
He was Shades in Luke Cage.
Oh, okay.
He was like the number two bad guy.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I know I'd seen him in stuff before. But, you know, when they get to that scene and they're doing kind of that standoff with the zombie queen, and he's just like focusing in and out on her and showing her and them and her, and like, it just was like, do something.
Yeah.
Like a movie, like, you can only hang on for so long.
Right.
But that's going back to before when I was saying he's so self-indulgent, and when someone gets him away from Warner, who had all this control and didn't let him do his vision, and they say, here's all the money, make what you want. I mean, he's just giving into all of his worst devices.
Yeah.
And now you have a director with free reign that his vision, I'm sorry to say, like, I mean, he does have cool visions, but overall the way he thinks things need to be so dragged out and so stylistic.
He needs someone to take the big ideas
yep.
and then actually create some connective tissue that makes sense.
Exactly.
And because he does have good big ideas.
Yes,
like, and when I read the article about his thoughts for a second one, and it's like, there are some cool things in there.
Does he want to do like a flashback, or does he want to go forward to Mexico?
He wants to go forward to Mexico.
Because he's like, that would be a hard city to build a wall around.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about, right? Like,
right.
I don't know.
You don't know.
It's the Rambo thing again. Like, so wait a minute. You're going to tell me the next movie is going to be in Mexico, and every single zombie that we're going to shoot in the face are going to be Mexican?
I mean, Mexico City. So yeah.
Like, that's problematic.
I don't know what. But that's the thing, is I don't think he genuinely thinks about that.
Yeah,
that's fair. I can see that.
He goes, Mexico City. You know, Mexico, a wall, trying to wall in the zombies. Like, these are big ideas and relevant topics. He doesn't say, what does that consist of? What will it look like? How will it work? He just, the ideas
right,
are there.
Right.
But he doesn't think right. them through. And if there's no one else there along with him that will...
It says, hey, Zach, let's not do that.
And I will say that the difference for me, if it was zombies in Mexico City versus a movie like Rambo, is Rambo is he was shooting nothing but Mexicans in that last one.
That's true.
And it was like, and he went to Mexico, and it's Mexican cartels, and it's Mexican drug dealers, and they're sneaking across the border. Like, they're checking a lot of like problematic boxes. Just like, because the movie's set in Mexico, and therefore the Mexican, like, I don't know that once you zombie up somebody, you're really going to be able to tell if they're Mexican or not.
I mean, if you say that
a lot of the zombies.
Oh, no. But if you openly say, we're going to Mexico, like, you can, it's safe to assume that your zombies are going to be Mexican.
But also at the same time, presumably, if you're going to Mexico to kill zombies, you're also trying to save Mexico.
I don't think you're wrong.
So, I mean, I get where you're going, but I don't think it's as bad as it might sound on paper, but
it is,
you know,
Zack Snyder
movie. Let's not underestimate Zack Snyder.
Well, talking about ideas, like, again, so I like the ideas of regular zombies and then alpha ones. I think that's interesting.
I'm fine with that.
Right. So there's that idea. Then I also liked the idea of the YouTuber guy, the social media guy. Like,
I like that idea.
Because think
a lot.
About it, we're in 2021 right now. If there were zombies, are you telling me there would not be viral YouTubers shooting them and putting scores and graphics on the screen?
Yeah.
Like, that was so perfect.
I would love for Jake and Logan Paul to get bitten and chewed up by said
But you telling me right now that the Paul brothers wouldn't be out killing zombies?
Absolutely,
on YouTube?
They would be.
So I thought that was brilliant. Like, that was a great idea. He has really good ideas in this movie. So, like, you know, but I think some of the, like, the German, like, safecracker stuff was
that.
Not,
I gotta tell you, the though, YouTuber I liked, guys, that could have been its whole move, a whole movie on its own.
Yeah, that's
I like the German guy too, though. Like, I like the
guy.
Yeah, it didn't.
I don't
work.
Know. It didn't bother
First
me
off,
as much.
I don't believe a 23-year-old guy is an expert safecracker.
I also gotta tell you, if you're gonna cast somebody at 23, make sure they look 23 and not like 37, like that guy.
Yeah, he just,
In a row.
I like a safe cracker. Like, that's such an old school skill. Like, your safe cracker should have been,
this was the,
like,
tech guy.
You should have been some grizzled old guy.
That
should have been, you know.
I don't know. I liked him playing off the other guy. Like, I liked those two together.
Sure. I thought the what was the name of Batista's partner? He's the one. He's actually the only one that survives, other than the daughter. But
it's
spoiler,
like Vanderho.
The thing. Yeah. You don't care about these characters, so it's really hard to actually remember which was which. Vanderho. You're right.
Okay.
So Vanderho, I thought, played by Omari Hardwick.
I liked him a lot.
He was really good.
Yeah.
Now, he's got the charisma and the acting skills, I think. Like,
I could see that.
Like, his charisma was off the charts.
He, you know, he reminded me of was, oh, damn it. I had it, and then I lost it. I looked at that Muppets poster, and it was gone. Shoot.
Muppet Zombies.
He kind of reminded me of Common. I don't know. Like, his act, like, the way he's kind of got that cool but funny kind of a, like, you think of John Wick when Common's in that.
Yeah,
and
I
he's
see
cool,
that.
But he also has that kind of, like, smart-ass kind of, like, funniness
the,
to him.
He's very suave.
Yeah, he gave that vibe to me, but I thought he was great. I thought his casting was excellent. And I thought the whole cast was fine, but the problem came with the script. And when they would deliver certain things, like the Safecracker guy, like, he was fine, but what he had to work with was very like it was supposed to be super funny, and it ended up being like
non-medium funny,
exactly.
Aggressively mediocrely funny.
Exactly. So the big laughs that they were looking for, I'm just like, please move on.
Yeah,
you know?
And here's the, we talk about how in these other movies, right? You're rooting for Ben in Night of the Living Dead. You're rooting for everybody in Dawn of the Dead. You're rooting for Sean. You're rooting for Ed. You're rooting for in this one. So like when Ed dies. Right. And spoilers from 2004's Shaun of the Dead or when his mom dies, like you've invested in those characters because they've spent the time building them up, building those relationships. So you understand how important they are to the people around them. So when Batista's not girlfriend gets her head torn off or ripped around, you're just kind of like,
well, they basically made it his girlfriend 2 seconds before she died.
Right.
Like, it was funny. We were watching my wife, like, as soon as she gets done with the speech, she's like, she's dead. And then, like, as soon as she gets done saying she's dead, she's dead.
Right.
I forgot there's a whole different subplot.
Yeah.
The person,
they throw in at the last.
The person he recruits is, like, a former love interest. And then, you know, through the whole movie.
And she's basically like, you know, you've been emotionally distant from me. I'm like, didn't. Like, this
what?
Is, it's only been, like, what, 7 months since the zombies took over Vegas? Like, it hasn't even been a full year for him to be a widower. Like, dial it back.
Yeah. And like, he even says, he's like, I was trying to fix things with Kate, or I was trying to fix things with you, and maybe once this is all over, we can start something. Oh, there goes your face.
Right, yeah.
You know?
As soon
and, but,
as they
so
make
like,
plans.
Right, so, if, but if in those other movies, if, when that happens, you're just like, ah, damn it. Like, we were rooting for these people to get out of here alive, where in this one, you're just like, well, so, moving on.
So, David, what, I mean, you being from Vegas and obviously more familiar with the area and the surroundings and stuff, like, how do you feel Vegas played with, like, being in a zombie apocalypse and how they handled their surroundings?
We've complained about a lot of aspects of this movie, but for me personally, that's, like, the worst part of it, is the way that Vegas is portrayed, because... First of all, almost everything seems to be centered around like one intersection of the strip. You know, every shot is just a long, long, drawn out shot of that exact same intersection. The fact that they couldn't manage to do it at a real hotel kind of sucks. You know, it's not that often that we get a giant, I forget what the budget of this is, but it's many, many millions of dollars, you know, a giant zombie movie invasion on Las Vegas. It would have been nice to see it in a real, you know, hotel. But the biggest problem is like the scale of what Vegas is. I mean, the idea that these people are all centering in on each other in Las Vegas, it's impossible. Like the fact that they're finding each other when they're lost and stuff like that. One hotel is like a mile across to try to like walk across, and they're like hearing each other from another room, and they're just like running down the hall and like, oh, there they are. And
there would be hundreds of floors,
it just, none of it makes any kind of sense as any kind of like scale or anything like that of what Vegas is actually like.
Yeah. I felt like their idea of Vegas stopped in like 1965.
Well, yeah, because they're talking about Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
Okay. Siegfried got attacked? I can't remember. I just can't remember which one.
Yeah.
I thought it was Siegfried.
One of them got mauled.
Obviously, there's a 50% chance. But So that was like over a decade ago. So clearly, Siegfried and Roy have not been performing in Vegas.
Right.
And yes, I get it's recognizable names. But when you're like, oh, yeah, that's one of Siegfried, not it was an old one or whatever, former. That's one of Siegfried and Roy's tigers.
Yeah.
That's a current reference.
Well,
like,
you can tell when he came up with the concept. Right.
Yeah.
True,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
13 years ago, or whatever. Exactly.
Even Liberace.
Well, it's true. Also
like,
so
Liberace's
the thing
been
is
dead
like
for like 30 years.
Bring in Brit, like do a Britney Spears lookalike or do a
yeah.
Who's the other right. gal that sets up?
Celine Dion had one. Elton John had a Aerosmith has
yeah,
a residency.
Them,
but the
you know,
point, but the point,
but you
was,
could have a lot of fun with that. And there are also all sorts of like celebrity impersonator mm-hmm. shows in
well,
Vegas.
Well, that was always
why
the,
did they not make zombies dressed up as like half Spider-Man and half Batman? You know, all the impersonators.
Well, that was always yeah. that was one of the sure. one of the funniest parts yeah. in Dawn of the Dead is when. They're standing on top of the mall and they're talking to the guy who's in the gun shop. He's yeah. like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds.
Right. Pointing him
and
out.
And he shoots
right.
Burt. And he's like, oh, man, that was a good one. And then shoots Jay Leno in the head. So it's just like you've established this joke
yeah.
and you love to go back to these jokes for whatever
yeah.
reason.
Yeah.
So just do it again, especially yeah. in Vegas.
They could have been so clever with the Vegas stuff. I mean, I've only been once. But, yeah, you just think of all the clever things they could have done. But for a movie that's supposed to be so grand of a large area full of casinos and lights and stuff, you're right. It does really feel narrow. The focus is so hyper-focused in on, like, yeah, that one street or when they're inside
it,
the casino.
It feels like it all takes place in one hotel.
Right.
And I get that they're yeah. trying to break into yeah. one hotel. But it
you could have shown us going through yeah. some other – like.
It also was very reminiscent of there's a book called The Passage I've talked about before. It's like
yeah.
three
okay.
books and it and about vampires, but they're kind of zombie like. And there's a scene where they have to go into Vegas and it's an extended section of the book. Yeah. And I turned to my wife and I was like, this is the Vegas scene in The Passage. And she's just like, oh, my God, it totally is.
Also,
and if you haven't read The Passage, you should. It's
David, could they have pulled this off at night? Like, could this have been, like, instead of it being in the middle of the daytime, like, isn't that, I mean, I've never been to Vegas,
right.
but, like, one of the draws, right, is you come up over through the desert and you see Vegas basically lighting up the right. desert. Could, I mean.
That's a really good point.
Why not do this when
yeah.
it looks the most like Vegas and let the
yeah,
lights
it would
be
so
on.
Well, so well lit with all those lights and everything. And you have to assume that they'd still be kind of going, like if you want to get real or anything like that. I mean, I feel like as long as the generators are going, there'd still yeah. be like constant lights everywhere.
You could have
flashing
some
lights.
Sort of,
something.
You could have some sort of plot device to justify yeah. why there's still power to the
yeah.
town.
I mean, if you're going to like.
There's a handful of survivors in there and we don't want to cut them off from power. And so
which is where I kind of
side.
Thought we
yeah.
were going as well, right? Like the people that were still inside.
Right.
Because they set it up to where it's like if you barter with the zombie king, he'll let you hang out.
Well, so let's talk about, so going to the end of the movie, so everyone starts dying off, right? I mean,
we start losing everybody. Well, yeah.
yeah, everyone's dying. And
basically,
you know,
what happens is the zombie king finds out that his wife,
sure,
I guess,
well, queen,
is
yeah.
dead. The truce that has been bartered
domestic
is now
barter.
Correct. Thank
common
you.
Law.
Common law. Yeah.
Common law. Zombie
the truce that has been bartered because of the giving over the scumbag security guard is off. So
why didn't
zombie
they make
king,
the zombie king and queen the married couple from the beginning? Wouldn't that have been a good plot? Like, so the married couple were the first ones to get infected, and they caused the
well,
crash
the zombie
of the
king
zombie.
Is the guy that gets out of the van.
I get it, but I'm just saying, like, the king and queen could have
hair,
been the husband and wife from the beginning. Like,
right.
that never tied back. They were just a
just
stupid,
married.
Yeah.
yeah.
Whose hair apparently grew.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's
yeah,
not a thing.
But that's the thing. We don't know the rules, Joe, right?
he can shoot a baby out of his... I think he can grow some hair.
He can grow
because,
hair,
because
yeah.
I didn't understand at first who he was, because then I looked back, and it's like, hey, he had short hair in the beginning of the
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
So time passage made it long, but you're right. That didn't click with me.
Zombies
like
can't grow hair.
Right. Well, you wouldn't think, but
they
can. They hair.
Can also
yeah.
come, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the deal. And he sends...
Army of the Dead 4, zombie money shot.
Trust me, Vivid Entertainment is already working
yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
Smarmy of the Dead.
Yeah. Smegma of the Dead. Sends the army of the dead out to get these people, and that's where all hell starts to break loose. We start losing everybody. Really what it comes down to is it comes down to Batista and Kate. The Scott and Kate are the last
and the pilot.
And Tig Notaro,
yeah.
They get away. The zombie king
leaps to the helicopter.
I did like that on the board that Matt Reedy called out the Paradise movie with, like, if you ever go back and look at Matt Reedy's comments on the board with one of the through the thread of the Army of Dead, and he's got like this a very similar mask.
Yeah, he put on a helmet.
Yes,
the zombie.
So
put
they
on
couldn't
a
shoot him in the head. And initially I was like, all right, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're gonna be a smart zombie,
yeah.
be a smart zombie.
He did, yeah.
right.
But so he jumps on. They have a scuffle, and then the plane...
zombie bites him. The zombie
yeah.
zombie king bites Batista, which is like that's what needed to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like you Dave Batista's not going to make it out of this.
Yeah.
And what I thought was is that he would be like strong enough to be a normal.
He just flexes and like the zombie venom like. Pops
well, no,
out.
But he becomes like the zombie king, but with a brain. Like
he'd be the new.
He'd
alpha.
Be the new alpha, but like not with a bad guy. Yes, yeah.
Like a pet zombie.
Like a pet zombie. Yeah, like Ed.
So
in
they,
Shaun of the
anyway,
Dead.
They send the nukes. So now they've just wiped out anyone that was alive in the area. Any zombies? You know, they've ended up. They didn't beat the clock, and then the nuke takes over, and the helicopter
and like,
crashes.
Why has it got to be a nuke? Like. And it's
I
like and when they're because it's like well why add radiation to the mix?
Okay,
well,
I'm right. glad like, you brought that yeah, up.
How does the guy survive and walk through radiation?
No,
that's
you know what? If he's
different.
In if he's in the safe, fine.
No, you don't think there's any radioactive fallout?
But I think if he gets what I'm saying is if he stays inside the safe
for a year,
I'm not saying it's logical. But then he gets out throwing bags of money, and I was like, well, you're dead. You're gonna like the nuclear fallout
right.
from the nuclear
you're ground
bomb.
Zero.
That's,
of
what
a
I'm,
nuclear
that's what I'm saying.
Explosion.
You can't just walk around. That nuclear radiation would be in everything. So
yes.
he yeah. walks.
Too
out.
Bad he didn't have a fridge to hide in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, well, that you know what? Good callback. Well done.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
But so yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But whatever. He ends up getting out. So Kate is alive. The pilot crashed. You never see Geeta and know if she's alive or not. But I
you assume she's dead.
But because of reshoots, I think that she was probably in the same scenes with the other guy, and maybe it didn't work out. But so you've got Kate, and then you've got Vanderho or whatever.
Well, you've got Kate, and you've got Batista. They have a little moment where yeah. Batista's like, I love you. I'm sorry.
She has
like,
to kill him. Make the same choice yeah. he made.
Which and, I like that was I was like okay like
I was now, really hoping he'd have mocked her. Oh, not so morally superior anymore, are you? Shoot me in the face. I'm a zombie. What you gonna do?
And I kind of wanted to see giant Dave Bautista as a zombie. Like that'd be yeah. kind of cool.
Well,
but yeah. we kind of get it.
Two.
That's true. Well, they shot him in the face. You can't
yeah.
bring him back now.
Oh.
Put a bullet through his brain.
Sure. Oh well, yeah, that's right. This movie only follows logic.
That's true.
So.
Yeah,
you're
good
right.
point.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kate goes somewhere else, and then we do like a little mid-credit sequence where. The dude inside the safe comes out in the nuclear fallout.
It was not technically a mid-credit sequence. It felt like one, but it...
Oh, maybe you're right.
It was not.
You're right.
Yeah, it was just the next scene.
He gets out, and you think like, oh, man, he's got all this money. He's going to be all right. Gets
Which
rents-
I liked that character so much. I'm like, why not just have... I mean, I guess they wanted to keep spreading or whatever, but I'm like, bring this guy back. He's the most charismatic.
Oh, they're going to bring him back.
Here's what I think Zack Snyder was thinking is he was like, look, if I set the next one in Mexico City... And all the zombies are Mexican that they're killing. That's racist. So what if we made the head zombie black? And that way I'm not just killing Mexicans. Right? Like, mm-hmm. if you think about it,
the
it's kind of brilliant.
Reed Hastings is like, thumbs up, Zach. You got it, buddy. So, but, yeah, he rents a private. I do like this scene where yeah. he's like, she's like, so that's not for rent. And he pulls out,
pops
like,
on the money.
Massive yeah. wads of cash. And she's like,
great.
Let me see what
yeah.
I can do.
That's awesome.
Gets him on the airplane. He's enjoying himself. And then he's immediately, like, he there's a sound. And I was like, oh. Like, he's bit. Like, yeah. this sucks.
And he didn't realize it after spending 12 hours by himself
yeah.
in a safe.
Yeah, you don't yeah. think you knew you would know if you had a zombie by yeah.
Also, how long does it take to become a zombie?
That's
as long
right?
as the narrative needs.
So Dave Bautista right. turns in 5 minutes, maybe.
Right. And look at the size of him. Don't you think it would affect...
It would take him a little bit longer, yeah. you know, depending on where you get bit,
no,
right?
That's the problem, is none of the writing part, when we talk about the script, is not just the dialogue, but the story things that you can keep finding. And again, if this were a better, dumb, fun movie...
You wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care. But
yeah, right.
But there is a lot that takes itself very seriously. So you either have to just be crazy and not really have a set of rules, but it's so fun and wacky and stupid, or you have to, okay, well, this seems to be pretty serious. Like, what are the rules?
Right. Right, yeah. And they don't explain them.
No. No.
So, I mean, there are bits and pieces of this that are enjoyable. It doesn't need to be 2.5 hours.
Yeah. If it were cut down, I think it'd be enjoyable, but the fact that it feels like a schlog to get through.
Like, it overstays its welcome, and it yeah. didn't have much of one to start.
Right. Yeah. Out of curiosity, yeah, right. what did this do at the box office? Because it did open...
Under $1 million.
Did it really?
$900,000,
wow.
I believe.
Dang.
Because this is the sort of movie that I would think people,
yeah.
like the fan base is like, oh, I don't care anymore. I'll go see a movie.
Yeah.
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 But
yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think you can blame that on the pandemic.
No.
Yeah.
No, because no, there's, I mean,
right.
Tom and Jerry made a ton of movies. You know I mean? Like,
yeah.
there are movies that like you could also watch on streaming that did plenty. Mortal Kombat made $20 million and was available the same day.
Yeah.
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 And this movie made under one and was a week early.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Wow. But what were your thoughts, David, overall?
Overall, it's a disappointment because, you know, like we said, Dawn of the Dead was a fun zombie movie, you know, and so the... the prospect of Zack Snyder coming back to that. Of course, the Las Vegas angle. You know, I definitely had high hopes for it. It's just, it's so drawn out and so long and just not fun.
Yeah. Agreed.
How long until we get the Restore the Zombieverse hashtag?
He's already said that this is the director's cut. There is not more. Here's
the problem, and I mentioned this online, is that, okay, this movie ends up not meeting the mark or whatever, right? It didn't make any money in theaters. Maybe the streams aren't what they thought. All the Snyder fans saw it because, of course, and then a few handful, whatever. They don't green light the sequel. Netflix now has to deal with.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I said this online, but I want to say it here for people that aren't a part of the group or whatever. Zack Snyder is shooting himself in the foot by not disavowing the rabid fans. I'm not talking about just casual fans and people that like him. I like his old work, but the more he does this and attaches himself to crazy, studios aren't going to want to touch it.
It's not worth the BS.
Just hire
a different director.
Mm. Yep. Every time you don't greenlit his sequel or his next, you know, amazing idea like King Arthur during the Gold Rush is his next big idea. When Netflix doesn't make that movie, wait till Netflix has to deal with people, and it's like no one's going to want to do that.
King Arthur during the Gold Rush.
What does that mean?
His next idea. next idea is Arthurian tale that takes place during the California.
It's like he's writing his movies entirely with refrigerator magnet poetry.
But seriously though, just mark my words: when no one picks that up, and they just did this zombie movie, but they won't take up his next genius idea, just watch the reaction.
Like, if I was in a pitch meeting and Zack Snyder said King Arthur and the Gold Rush, I would literally be like, did you just have a stroke? Is everything okay?
Did you mean, like, to put those words together?
I think you have some sort of medical emergency that needs to be addressed.
Medic.
Yeah. So anyway, but I mean, I used to like his stuff a lot.
I think his old stuff is still worth a watch.
But the more self-indulgent with no other control to stop him from just doing whatever he wants, I'm starting to be like, I'm not that excited for Zack Snyder's stuff anymore, which is sad because I think his old stuff was great. And I'm like, if this is every movie is going to be him getting to do whatever he wants,
I don't need this anymore. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett, or this week, the Forza Crowd episode that I guess start on should be out as well.
Awesome. And David, where can everyone find you and your stuff?
Yeah, check out Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow me on social media at PiecingPod.
Awesome, and you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And find the show online, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, a posse kills Ben.
Get ready for a spoiler. Don't say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.